Blog Talk Radio.
All right, well, let's go forward. Yes, so the music that's coming in today. Praise God. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother Dalen, and again, I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come together to share the wisdom and knowledge of God's Word. Let us open with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, your grace, your goodness, your kindness, your gentleness, your understanding and patience with us. We thank you, Father God, you continue to show us every day that you're there for us because you give us the breath of life and you give us the opportunity again to grow in you, to mature in you, to begin to walk in you and go tell the world about you. Father God, we're excited that you give us this day. And today, Father God, as we go forward, we ask you that I, as the deliverer, decrease and the Holy Spirit increase as I deliver your word, Father God. And let your word come with accuracy, Father God. Let it come with truth, Father God. Let it come with the power, Father God, that you said we will receive when we receive the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father God, those under the sound of my voice, Father God, will benefit from your word, Father God, that they can go forward and be powerhouses and be able to use the tongue as you intended for us to use it in a mighty way, Father God, to speak life. So we praise and honor you, Father God, that you give us that ability to go forward and be victorious in you from the words, from your knowledge and your wisdom that only comes through your mighty power. So we thank you and we praise you, Father God, as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, welcome to another show. This, again, we're going to go back over last week's show, which is the power of the tongue. How are we using the power of the tongue for our lives and for others? Today's quote is, words are free. It's how you use them that may cost you. And the word says in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. And in Proverbs 15:4, the soothing tongue is the tree of life, but the perverse tongue can crush the spirit. I'm reminded of a story I heard. It was about a minister who was visiting a small town. And as he was passing by a small hut, he heard a woman came out and begged him to come and pray over her critically ill child. Since the minister was new in town, a crowd gathered around him to see if he could do anything. The woman brought the sick child to the minister, and he began to pray over her. But while he was praying, he heard a voice in the background shout, "Do you really think your prayers will help when all medicine has failed?" yelled a man in the crowd. The minister yelled at the man and said, "You man of little faith, you don't know what you're doing. Just be quiet," said the minister to him. The man became furious with these words, for his face had turned bright red and he was boiling hot. He was so upset that it looked like he was about to hit the minister. But when the minister walked over to the man, he said, "Now if one word has such a power to make you so angry and hot, do you think another word of faith could have the power to heal?" The moral of the story is words have power. What we tell ourselves can heal or kill the results we seek. Well, let's just kind of recap what we talked about last week. The power of the word is an amazing gift that God gives us to use as a tool. For it is a small part of the body that can do great things. And the word says that it creates life or death. And I spoke about Pastor Ken Smiley, who has said there is a small muscle in the body that can cause more heartaches, more pain, more mistrust, more anger than any other muscle put together. It is so powerful that it can cause betrayal, murder, wars, and riots. It is a factor in the destruction of relationships, friendships, families, and major factors in some of the divorces and separations that we see. And James 3:6 says, "The tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire." And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting the entire body, and it can set the whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. However, the tongue can be a beautiful tool, because remember, it creates and can help us to produce the best things in life. And we spoke about in previous sessions that the power of the tongue is so useful that it works in these seven other tools that we use to continue to fight the good fight of faith: prayer, utilization of the Holy Spirit, God's armor, the guardian angels, faith, love, and hope. The tongue has the ability to promote, or I should say, help promote these areas that we use to be victorious in fighting the good fight of faith, because we know we have to fight the good fight of faith to be able to deal with the challenges that come up in our lives. But Jesus was amazing because he spoke and he taught. He taught these things that we speak of today, and he taught them to his disciples who passed it on to us. So words have power. And in Psalms 19:14, it said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." And as I mentioned earlier, the tongue has the power of life and death. So we want to make sure that these words that we use are acceptable to our Lord, our rock, and our redeemer. That is why it's imperative for us to speak life unto our lives and others. Because as I said before, many of the things we see in the world happening today, and those more major incidents that happened this weekend, that these words that we use became not just killers of the body, but they became killers of the soul, the will, and the emotion. And so people are so damaged by these words that we use that instead of inspiring them to be better, we have brought more harm. And then we see the outward manifestation of this. When God gave man the capacity to speak and communicate verbally through the words of expression, he gave us this ability, this tongue, to use to encourage one another, to empower and share the words of wisdom, of love, and hope, to enable us to worship him in discourse and to impart his laws and his ways. Not to utilize them to bring harm to one another. But as I mentioned earlier, we have to be careful that we're not speaking death, because this is what Satan wants us to do, because his intention through the power of words is to kill, steal, and destroy. Destroy relationships, and especially the relationship we have with God. He wants us to be defeated. But the scripture says in Matthew 12:37, the words we say can either equip us or they condemn us. Now, my question is today, as we move forward, what daily monologue do you have with yourself? Is it speaking life? Isn't it inspiring you or depleting you? Did you buy into what others said about you when you were growing up that wasn't motivating, wasn't encouraging, wasn't inspiring, wasn't supportive, wasn't strengthening to help you be the best that God had intended you to be? Did you reject the Jews that they said you wasn't good enough, pretty enough, smart enough, rich enough, talented enough, had enough? Many of us have bought into this in so many ways that we lost sight of what God intended us for us to be. Because in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Oh, it doesn't look hopeful for many people out here. When they do these destructive things, it's because they don't have hope. They have lost hope. I actually went to go see a movie. I'm a Batman fan, so I went to go see The Joker. And what this story, the movie was about, was Joker's life. Now, obviously, he's a villain, so we would probably look at him as the bad guy. But they took it all the way back to show what brought him to this point. Here is basically a nice man in the interim, had some mental health issues, but society was so cruel. The people were so cruel, the abuse that he experienced, the words that was a part upon him was so negative that it just came compounded. This anger came compounded. His hurt became compounded. His pain became compounded to the point that he lost it. Now, I'm not justifying inappropriate behavior, but what I see, and I always like to say, we have to be like God. We have to separate the behavior from the person, the spirit of the individual. And sometimes, I always look at when I see people that are homeless, I said at some point, at some time, these were somebody's baby boy and baby girl. And when they were in the hospital and the family gathered around them, they said, oh, my God, look how beautiful he is, how beautiful she is. But life is worth when a fire, we used to say, the child is born with a heart of gold, but the ways of the world make it grow cold. This comes from the words that we use to each other. Are we saying things the way God intended for us to say it? Are we using the gift of the tongue to create life? And in many cases, that's not the case. We're taking away the life of many people. And I know this to be true from my own experience, and I'm sure everyone in the sound of my voice has had these experiences where we weren't being told that we were the best that God intended us to be, but we were being put down, belittled. We were being degraded. We were being manipulated. We were being hurt and put in situations and conditions that gave us no hope, and that was not God's intention. That was not what God intended for us to use the tongue to do. He gave it to us so we can utilize it appropriately. Well, today I talked last week about giving you a few principles. Let's look at seven principles and what God's word says about how we should use the tongue to produce the best result, that which will align with God's plan for our lives. Principle one, see yourself as important as God sees you. God's word says in 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they did not know him. They didn't know Christ. Many times we have brought into the idea that we have no worth because our society is a comparison competitive society. If you don't look like somebody or you don't act like somebody, you don't meet up to certain standards, then at that point you almost devalue. And we hear thousands of messages telling us how we should see ourselves, what we should become. God's word says we should be calling ourselves children of God. Therefore, not buying to the world's ideal, which says that we're not worthy or we don't have value, because our Heavenly Father does not see us that way. He loved us unconditionally, and we have to see that he and what he sees thinks about us and how he values us, because he was our creator, he was our provider, he is our comforter, he is our healer, he is so much more. Man has never created nothing. He just reshaped, redesigned, and reformed. God created everything. So why would we listen to the one who's the imitator when we could talk to the one who's the creator? This is what we have to do. We have to start saying what God says about it, because he's the one designed it. He's the one made us. Principle two, don't say or entertain defeating things about your outward appearance, but seek and speak the beauty from the heart. See, God judges the heart. I think I read something that says the heart is spoken about 400 something times in the Bible. God values the heart. He sees the best in the heart. And what's in a man's heart will come out. But when you see yourself the way God sees you from the inside out, the external factors can control your internal stability. When we speak of ourselves, we do not focus on the outward things, such as the worldly beauty, the material things, power and status. Yes, I would say they have their place. But God says what's most important is what's in a man's heart. And we can build on that. Those things are beautiful to have. I think that we should take, in the military, we're very neat-oriented, if you will. Everything has to have a certain order. So outward things have its place, but it should not take its place of God. See, I watch people, and they get these surgeries, and they're trying to appease the outward appearance so people will accept them. But once they've come to realize that you were accepted from the day God created you, then you are beautiful in his own state. You know, I always tell people that my daughter, it's so sad because my daughter has special needs. If you say, oh, it's so sad, I'm so sorry. But, I look at, she's beautiful because God designed her. And maybe she doesn't look or act like everybody else, but her beauty radiates from the inside out, not the outside in. So we have to start looking at that and speaking what God's word says about us. And 1 Samuel says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the people. The Lord does not look at things as people look at it. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. See, even when Samuel was getting ready to anoint David, he looked at many of David's, he was looking at the outward appearance. But God told him, my great soldier is not going to be what man says should be. He may not be tall. He may not be older. He may not have the experience. As a matter of fact, he didn't even have the armor. But God gave him everything needed. As I talked about earlier, God gave him his armor, and he went with that boldness because he saw himself as God saw him, not as man saw him. So when he stepped before the giant, all the giants we experience in life, when we step before the giant, we go speaking what God says about us, not what the giant is saying, because the giant was insulted that they would send such a small person to fight a battle. But he had the heart, he had the courage, he had the faith, he had the belief. He looked back on the experience when God brought him everything that looked like a giant, and he was victorious because he spoke what God spoke. That is the power of the tongue. Principle 3, say to yourself that you are God's model, not his excuse. Too many times we entertain people's ideal of what a model looks like. But God's model is always perfect because the work that God has done in us, he's going to complete it. So we all have something to offer. I've seen motivational speakers who had no legs, and they were winning the souls of many people. I've seen people with no arms and raise a family. They were blessing many people. See, they didn't entertain the outward manifestation. They spoke over themselves what God spoke over them. They walked in the faith. They walked in the faith. They said unto the mountain, be thou removed, and cast to the sea, because they knew God was within them, not just outwardly covering for them. So Timothy says, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believer in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. We set the example. As we like to say, we set the bar. And we set that bar with enthusiasm and passion. We set conviction. That's what Paul was about. He was about conviction, as we talked about today in Bible study, that Paul, when he got selected by Christ himself. And when he got selected and he stepped out, the conviction he had when he was taking Christians' lives, he had the same conviction and more, because initially he had the same passion that he wanted to operate and do God's will, but he had the wrong ideal and the wrong method. But once he got transformed, he had the right idea, the right method, and he went about it the right way, the way God intended it to be. And he began to speak the way God intended, not just based on what man said. And then we have to look at principle 4. See and say to yourself always, see and say to yourself, you are always becoming new and improved. The word says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When we become born again in the spirit field, we become new, not just the physical body, but that spirit, that spirit that begins to change. And obviously spirit and flesh are in conflict with each other. But as we continue to study God's word, mature in God's word, exercise God's word, a person comes in 110 pounds with no muscle whatsoever. If they keep going into the gym, they keep functioning and operating in the principles that are taught to build their body, for you know it, they're Mr. Olympians, they're powerhouses. That's what we need to do when we speak God's word. We may be emaciated in the interim, but as we continue to develop in God's word, mature in God's word, become focused on God's word, start exercising God's word, we build that powerful muscle. Now we're speaking life with the tongue. Now we're speaking life. Old things passed away, all that negativity we heard, all the negative message that was told to us, that thousand messages got kind of deep down into the subconscious, and subliminally we were being hit with. Now we can move to the conscious level because we're making a conscious decision to make a commitment to God's word to become a powerhouse for God and using the tongue to build life and not create death. Principle 5. Speak with authority and confidence about who you are in Christ. Paul was bold. Paul had courage. David had courage. Moses had courage. Ruth had courage. Esther had courage. They spoke with confidence. They had faith in God's word. They spoke in the belief that they came with authority. They knew who they were. And as always, Jesus knew who he was. He didn't have to validate himself because he knew who he was in God. And now we've been blessed to know who we are in Christ. And with use of the Holy Spirit, we can be victorious. We can use those words. So in Deuteronomy, it says, 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. It's time that we start changing the way we dialogue with ourselves. What is our narrative for ourselves every day? Oh, yeah, there may be people that disagree with you. They don't see what you see. As a matter of fact, as always, most people are going to try to look at you in the negative, especially if you were a person like myself growing up in the inner city and, you know, doing things that most inner city young youth would do. So they would see me this way. But be transformed by the newness of my mind. I started to mature. I started to grow. I started to walk in the path, not in perfection as they see it, but perfection in maturity, to grow in a way that now I can speak about God's word with confidence. I can speak about it in a courageous way. I used to tell my soldier, being courageous is not the absence of fear. It's going forward in the midst of the trial or tribulation or the thing that you fear the most. That's what courage is about. Oh, yes, anybody in this human flesh, even Christ, when he said, if this cup can pass, I would imagine to some degree that the ideal that he already knew in advance, what was going to happen to him, the flesh, against spirit, did not want to have to go through that. And surely, when I was out in the field and the rockets and the mortars and the small arms coming, surely I had some fear. Is this the last day? But I knew with confidence that even if it's the last day, absent from the body, present with the Lord, again, speaking what the word says, that I knew that I still would have victory either way. So this is important. And principle 6 is speak and see yourself being transformed to a powerful warrior, a soldier in Christ. Now, me being a soldier, and I'll often probably refer back to that because I spent 37 years of my life as a soldier. So being a soldier, I knew how important it was for us to be able to be transformed from the street mentality to the soldier mentality so that I may be able to be a person that not only could provide leadership, but I also could be a good follower so I can continue to lead. I also knew it was important to understand the principles that you use in leadership in order to be able to lead my soldiers so they could be overcomers too. In training, we had to train from, we always go, but before you become a full soldier, you have to go to basic. You got to get the basics. And this is what's important. If you want to be able to speak with the tongue and create life, you have to get the basics. Nobody can, even if you just talking about school, you got to have the basics before you can go into advanced classes like engineering or medicine. You got to get the basics. And this is essential for us to be victorious. Because if we want to be what God intended us to be, we have to know how to use this tool called the tongue and use it wisely. As I pray daily, Lord, let me be a wise steward, even in the area of my tongue, not to let foolishness come out. And I admit, sometimes it comes out. But the good thing about it, you can ask for forgiveness and repentance and keep moving forward. Because, again, Satan even wants to guilt you to talk yourself down when you miss the mark. And you fall short, so therefore he pushes you back. Remember, he's there to kill, steal, and destroy. He knows the power of words too. And if he can shame you, he can change your game. And your game in this fight is to win. We know that the battle is already won, but there are everyday things we have to deal with in our life challenges that we should go as victors, and soldiers always go to be the victor and win the war. And that's what we want to do. But we have to know how to fight the battle. And that's why we have to know how to use the tongue. So in Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And that's what Jesus was about. making sure that he executes God's perfect will. But we can't do that. If nothing in you, nothing will come out of you. So again, you got to go back to basics and get that training. And that training is reading God's word, utilizing the help aids, listening to the preacher preach, those who are giving it. And again, even when the preacher preaches, I'm speaking, as I told a young man the other day, you go back and you study to see if I'm on point, because I'm in this human body. So I understand that I may fall short. I may miss the mark, and I'm okay with that, because every day that I miss the mark, that's just one more opportunity for me to improve on it and get it together. And we have to be humble enough to receive the message that God is utilizing each man, because no man is perfect. No man is without flaw. But the thing that we need to listen to is the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to know that when they speak, are they speaking things that are creating life and in line with God's word, or are they speaking things that's going to create death and it's not in line with God's word? And if that be the case, you need to be able to distinguish that. And the word says that my sheep know my voice. So you got to know God's voice. How are you going to know his voice if you don't build a relationship with him? And again, I said, Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy relationships. So we need to get these principles down. And there are so many more out there that will help us to be victorious and being able to fight the good fight of faith. And principle 6-7, think before you speak on those things that are true. See, we're quick to speak, and then once it's out, it's out. So we need to take a pause for the cause. That's why he gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. Take a pause for the cause. Think before we let it out. And run it through our head. I have this little thing that I do. I have this, if you will, advisors. But they're not real people. They're advisors, I would say, if I had Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, Maxwell, people like that who I have some admiration in the human level for. And I said, okay, if I presented this thought to them, would they think this is going to create life or create death? And if you had like a board or if you had a jury, you'd have to get a higher percentage. So sometimes we speak things out and we speak in death and don't even realize it. But we have to have ears to hear. And we have to be slow to speak, slow to anchor, and quick to listen. So we have to be willing to take things in order for us to do. But the word says even more so, these things that we think on before we allow out, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, what is true, what is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. For whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. See, so we have things we have to do. There are things, steps we have to take. Again, back to basic. And most of us are not always thinking on those things, and we're not speaking on those things that are noble, that is pure, that is lovely. We're quick to make a negative judgment, but I like to say I don't judge to criticize, I judge to understand, because in all things we should get understanding. So in relationships, in communicating with friends, family, and others, seek to get understanding. When you see someone that's homeless, you see someone on drugs, you see an alcoholic, you see just your everyday family that's missing the mark, don't be so quick to make the judgment with your tongue. Try to make sure that you understand why they do what they do and separate the action from the human spirit, because God is working with the spirit all the time, and we don't know their heart. So we have to help elevate people so their heart can become pure. So in closing, let me go back here. Hallelujah, praise God. So in closing, let us try to apply the 7 principles and the other 7 tools that I spoke about, prayer, Holy Spirit, God's armor, the guardian, the faith, hope, and love. Let's try to use these principles and tools to speak life onto our lives and others. So in closing, I like to pray out. For those of you that don't know Christ, take a pause for the cause to bow your head. And just tell the Lord that, Lord, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. I come to you accepting, asking for forgiveness, and I'm asking that you allow me to repent of my sins. And in that, Father God, I know that you will receive me as one of your children. So therefore, I can speak unto myself that I am one of your children and I can speak life unto me. And from that day forward, I can be victorious as you intended and as your plan was for me. Accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior is the greatest reward one could ever have. And from there, life could be much, it won't be without challenges, but it can be more beautiful. Thank you. I continue to pray for everyone out there. I always pray for the world, the country, the states, the cities, the communities, the neighborhoods, and the family and individuals that we can continue to fight the good fight of faith and walk in God's victory. Have a blessed week.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me because I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Oh, heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me. And nothing can separate me from your love when there's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path. Don't think every door, I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. I haven't is worth fighting for. Your kingdom here is worth fighting.